weeks we've been talking about having a healthy soul. You may be seated this morning. And to have a healthy soul is more valuable than any home, more valuable than any vehicle, more valuable than any money that you can have in the bank. That when you have an inner peace, when things are right on the inside, that is priceless. We had two very famous musicians that were a part of major bands that in the last month or so have committed suicide. Money is not the answer. Fame is not the answer. Possessions are not the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. And not just having Jesus in your life, but allowing him to conform you and to help you and mold you and build you and to work on you and to create an atmosphere in your life that there is peace, there is joy, and there is love. And so we talk about having it, but do we truly have it? In order to have some of these things in our life, we have to have a healthy soul. It's 1 John 4:7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." So love is very important to our relationship with God. "He that loveth and knoweth not God, for God is love." Everybody say, "God is love." We talked last week, Brother Chain did an awesome job about talking about the anchor, about having an anchor, that we have to have stability in our life, that no matter how bad the storm gets, that when Christ is our anchor, that we have something of stability in our life, that we can have the peace, that we know that even though that we're in the midst of the storm, that we have the one that speaks to the wind and the waves in our boat, that he is our anchor. And so we've got to have stability. We've got to have an anchor. If we're going to have peace, if we're going to have joy, if the inner man is going to be whole, then we've got to have an anchor. But another thing that we're going to add this week is we've got to have love in our lives. Now, a lot of people think, well, I can do it by myself. I can make it on my own. I don't have to have anybody else. I don't have to have those kind of emotions in my life. And there is something important about having love in your life. They did a case study, and I can't remember what country it's in, and it's just coming to me right now, but it wasn't a country where laws were very prevalent, but they wanted to find out how two children would be raised, these two orphans would be raised, if one was loved and held and kissed on and touched and felt the warmth of somebody's body loving on them, and then they took the other one and they just left it all by itself. They just left it there. They barely touched it. They fed it. They just barely took care of the situation. And one of them, as he grew up, he was so far ahead of the other one. The one that was never touched. The one that was never loved. The one that was never experienced the warmth of somebody just letting them know that they cared about them was so far behind and so backwards compared to the one that felt the love. We were created to be loved and to love. And so when we find ourselves in a situation where neither one of those are going on in our lives, we have found ourselves in a situation where we are not whole. There is going to be frustration. There is going to be things in our lives that are not right. Love is a fundamental desire for our soul. It is something that is inside of us that we naturally seek to be loved and to love. We've got to understand that love nowadays, even the word love is so abused. I remember, I can't remember if I was in the 9th grade or 10th grade. I didn't have a car yet, I know that. But I started dating a girl that did. And she had an old beat up truck, but when you don't have a vehicle, that's like a Ferrari. And I remember we'd been dating like 2 weeks, and she was like one of my first real girlfriends. And I remember sitting there with her one night. We were talking about the future and what was going to happen and how we were going to take over the world. And I remember telling her, "I love you," and she just looked at me and She had a new boy. I went to General Conference 2 days later, and when I got back, she had a new boyfriend, and I couldn't blame her for that. Looking back, that was probably not a good go-to line, 2 weeks of dating, you know. But, man, she had a truck, and, you know, and so... We can throw that word love around for everything. You can love corn nuggets and love your car. And man, you can talk about how much you love Fox's Pizza and how much you love your children all in the same sentence. And man, we can throw that word love all over the place, and we can use it for just about everything. And Brother Shatwell always tells me there's only three things in this world you can love. He said, you can love God, people, and dogs. And after that, he said, you need to just realize you love it too much, God will take it away from you. And I said, that's probably a pretty good thing to look at. And so we can throw that love. We'll abuse the idea of love that we have a jaded idea of what love is. And a lot of times love is what fulfills me, what makes me happy. But love goes both ways, that in order to have love, that you've got to reciprocate love also. Now, you might be able to pull it for a while, but eventually whoever's giving it is probably going to come to their senses, or things are going to change, or it's going to be a very frustrated life as you go along. And so we find people that abuse love. We see that how Islam is they for religious sakes they hate us, but it even goes back further than that when Christianity per se or whatever raided them and killed them thousands of years ago because of the name of love and spreading the gospel and trying to let people know. And we've got to find out, what is true love? What does love mean to us as a Christian? What is it that it means to us as we walk through this life? How does it affect us? How is it going to change our world, our church, our lives, and what we can do to make it a part of our lives, to find the peace that it brings to us. I meet so many people now that God is love. We just read the scripture. It's the truth. God is love. I've heard them say that love is God, that literally love is God, that you want to display God, you just display love, that love is God. God is love. Well, the God is love part is true. That is very true. We just read the scripture where it says that. But we've also got to understand that it's not just about love. We see that you see the Woodstock, that all we need is love. There's thousands of poems and songs that's all about love. It's just about loving everybody, accepting everybody, just being cool, just everybody except everybody. God, Bible, okay. Jesus, church. Just if I love, then I'm like Christ. And as long as I just love everybody and accept everybody, then everything is going to be okay. So we make it about love. If I just love, if I just accept, if I'm just open to whatever is going on, if we just open ourselves up to loving everybody, loving everything, and showing love all the time, and then everything will be all right. But the truth of the matter is if that was the case, if love fixed everything, we are more accepting today than we've ever been. We will allow things to happen in our world and in our lives more now than we've ever accepted things in our lives. And we see things at the grocery store that we've never seen before. And now it's becoming normal, and it's just a part of life. And we might not like it, but we accept it. We're more accepting than we've ever been for anything in this country. If love was the answer of just accepting everything, then we should be fixed right now, right? You see, the problem with love, when we separate God's love, divine love, and human love, we've created a problem. When it's just about love, when it's just about acceptance, then it's about what am I willing to accept and what am I willing to love? I get to make the decision on what's loved and what's not loved and what I accept and what I do not accept and what I like and what I don't like. And as long as it fits in the parameters of where I live, then everything is okay. And everything that's outside of the parameters of where I live, then that is wrong. And so we get to create what love means, and we don't get to create what love means. Love doesn't get to make decisions. Love cannot speak. It's just a concept that we've created that we've got all that we just love everybody. And the problem is we're not loving everybody. The world is not loving everybody. The world is not accepting everybody. And we say on one side, well, you just got to love everybody. And but they hate everybody on that side. And everybody over here saying we need to love everybody. And they hate everybody and are frustrated or don't accept and got all. And so there's less love now than there's ever been in our country. But if we just all loved, then everything would be all right. If we just loved each other, it sounds amazing. If we just, can you imagine what our planet would be like if we truly loved each other, if we truly did what we said that we were going to do? Love would conquer hate. It would conquer violence. It would conquer wars. But the problem is it's love on our terms. It's love. We call it love. We call it Christianity per se some, but it's love on our terms. You see, we've got to understand. I hear people say that, oh, well, there are no absolutes, you know. God is love. There's no absolutes. You can do what you want, you know. God understands. God loves. God cares. God died for us, you know. And so there's no real absolutes. But the problem with that is there are absolutes in our lives when we say that, because there are things that we still would not do. See, luckily for most of us, most people that we run into, their moral compasses are pretty straight. They pretty know what's right from wrong. But if I can tell you that there are no absolutes and that I can pretty much do what I want to do and live for God any way that I want to live and do it any way that I want to do it, then we've also got to understand that what if somebody else's moral compass is not as straight as ours? Where do I get to stand and say, that's not right? You see, love for some is completely different for others. I've met people that love was locking their wife in their home and chaining her to the wall. And I've seen that situation that's happened before, that I'm protecting her because I love her. I've seen situations where people would withhold money to keep them poor so that they could keep them where they are because they loved them. The idea of love is different for everybody. Some people say, I do this because I love, and others might say, well, that's abuse. Some people say, I do this because I love, and others would say, well, that's just taking advantage of someone else. That's not really love, but it's love to them. But who's to say what is love? If that's what love is to them, then they should be able to have the right to do whatever they want to do if it's just all about what love is to us. See, we've got to understand that it can't be about what love is to us. It has to be about what love is to God. We've got to understand that it can't be my definition of love. It's got to be His definition of love. If you truly want peace, joy, and love in your life, then you've got to go to the Word of God and begin to apply that to your life. It can't just be about love. It can't just be about good works. This storm is a perfect example to see what something like this brings out. You see people that have come out of the woodworks, that have traveled. I ran into people last night from Tennessee, Arkansas, from all different areas that they're coming and they're just wanting to help. And then you've got the flip side of it. You've got people going into homes and just stealing everything that they can get their hands on and trying to do everything that they can. See, we've got to understand that the love of God has to be in our lives. If it's just all about love, if it's just about loving people, if it's just about accepting people, then that's all well and good, but we've got to understand it's got to be about the Word of God. What does God say about love? What does God say about love, the love that we're supposed to have in our lives? The scripture that we come to is 1 Corinthians 13:4. Charity suffereth long. That word charity is agape love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doeth not behave itself unseemly. Seek not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. But rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. And endureth all things. The word here, the key word is all. That whatever's going on, all. Whatever's happening, all. Whatever's going on in the situation, all. We've got to understand that when Paul wrote this, he was writing this to the church of Corinth. The church of Corinth, the city of Corinth, was like a modern day Amsterdam or Las Vegas or Hollywood, but worse. You could do whatever you wanted to do in Corinth. It was free. Everybody did what they wanted to do, and morally and immorally and all of that. It was a wreck. Corinth was a wreck. And so the entire book of 1 Corinthians is literally rebukes. It's Paul coming to them and saying, no. As you read through there, he's trying to help them. He's heard of things that are going on that he's trying to get their attention. And he comes to the 13th chapter, and all of a sudden he begins to talk about love. He's saying, you think you know love, but your idea of love is jaded. You think that the things that are going on has to do with love, but your idea of love is jaded. So in the midst of all of this correction that he has going on, he stops and he begins to talk to them about love. That love is more than just a feeling. It is a lifestyle. It is a principle. It is practical. It is something that has to be lived, walked, and talked. It's not just a good sermon. It makes for good living. And so Paul stops everything and he begins to talk to them about the importance of love in their lives. That it's not just about doing whatever you want to do. It's not just about accepting. It's not just about, oh, well, this ooey gooey feeling of feeling good about everything. Love is a principle that you place in your life, and it is something that you do. Matthew 5:43, it says, and ye have heard that it hath been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? It's easy for us to love our children because that's natural. But what about these people that don't love you? What reward have you? Do you not even know that the publicans are the same? These people, they'll love people that's easy to love. But what about the ones that aren't? And if you salute your brethren only and do ye more than others, do not even the publicans do so? And we like to quote this scripture, but this scripture here is talking about love. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He's talking about love all down through here, and then he stops and says, be ye perfect. How am I going to be perfect? I am perfect in my ability to be able to love others and how I love others. The first thing that we read in 1 Corinthians 13:7, as we read it, it says, love beareth all things. If you look up that word in the Greek, that word beareth literally means a rooftop over. It literally means a covering of silence. Love covers silently. You want true love in your life, that means you've got to be willing to cover somebody else's faults silently. Love beareth. Oh, well, it love carries all of the weights of everybody. No, that word literally means roof and covering. Look it up in the Greek. Get your Strong's app out when you get home. It literally means covers silently. What is true love? True love is being able to cover someone else's fault silently. Oh, what are you saying? We say we're supposed to cover. No, we cover them privately so that we can help heal them in publicly. We've got to understand that God says if you're going to truly love, you've got to be able to cover somebody else and protect them. If you can't be trusted, that is not true love. I meet a lot of people that they want to be a roof. They're good people, but they want skylights in the roof. They want to be able to cover. They want to be able to protect, but they also want to, well, did you see Sister So-and-so at the mall the other day? And I'm praying for them. I don't know what's going on, but this and that and this. And what we're doing is we're saying that we're covering, but we're literally have opened up a skylight into the world and saying, hey, I just want to, I'm not going to tell you all that I know, but I'm going to expose this little area right here that's going on. And so when Paul begins to write to the Corinthians this warped idea of what love is in their life and what love is for them and all of this free love that's going on around them, and Paul says, true love means that you are willing to protect somebody and to keep your mouth closed while you do it. That true love is being able to cover somebody with a roof and say, you can dwell here and trust me and I will not hurt you while you are here. And I will not hurt you after you leave this place, because true love is being able to cover somebody and to stay silent in the midst of the covering. To conceal their weaknesses. I'm not talking about if it's some, I'm talking about covering and protecting people. There are people all over this room that you have people in your lives that you have the ability to cover or to cut. You have the ability to protect, or you have the ability to, even if it's just like a flashlight, to shine on the fault or the area that is wrong and expose just a little bit enough that you can still feel good about everything else. The Bible says true love is covering in silence. We've got to understand that we've got to protect, that we've got to make sure that we watch over. The second one is to believe. The second word here is to believe. It beareth all things and believeth all things. Now, does that mean that it just believes whatever? You know, if Sister Creel tells me the sky is going to be purple today, I'm like, oh, wow, the sky is going to be purple today. Sister Creel said it. And no, that's not what it's saying. It's talking about being able to stay positive even in the negative. Most of us, we cannot stay positive in the negative. If it's negative, we're all in on the negative. But how would your job change if you begin to live by a mentality that even if you didn't know it, you begin to try to live by, they didn't mean it? Somebody says something at work and you just say, they didn't mean it, and you let it just brush off. Somebody says something in your family, they didn't mean it, you just let it brush off. Instead of remembering everybody for their weakest moments, what if we begin to try to find them and remember them for their high moments? What would happen if we remembered them for what we know that they can do rather than what we know where they are right now? What would happen when we begin to pray for people? We didn't pray for where they are right now. We begin to pray for where God is going to restore them to. And we remember what they used to be. And even though they possibly in a valley at this moment, God's going to bring them back to that place. So it believes all things. What is it saying? It's saying that I'm looking for what's right in everything. I'm trying to find something good. I'm trying to live a life that where I find something that is right. I'm trying to find something that is good in the situation. Think on these things. I'm trying. See, a lot of the stress that we have in our lives, a lot of the frustration, a lot of this soul confusion that we have is because we only focus on everything that is wrong in our lives. Somebody will do something in Maine, and we will see it on Facebook. We will like it. We will repost it. We'll create a page so that others can see it. It will never affect our lives, not one day, not no how, anyway, how. If somebody was done an injustice, what you do right here in Moss Bluff is not going to affect the court system in Maine. But you will be stressed, frustrated, angry, and trying to get people on board and talking about it. And then you can't figure out why you don't have peace in your life. You don't have joy in your life. I've met people that they are forever going to be the doer of right. They're forever going to be looking for their self-appointed guardians of what's right. And if somebody has been done wrong, they are going to be the first to champion their cause. We had a lady that I worked with in a church that she was always going to champion everybody else's cause. She was constantly on the lookout. If somebody was done wrong or somebody wasn't quite done right, she was going to go to them. She was going to get their side of the story, and then she was going to make sure the world knew that side of the story and was going to champion that cause. Problem was, is the person that it happened to would move on and they would get over it, and she was still championing the cause. And she was sick all the time, in and out of the hospital, crazy thing, weird diseases, weird things, and surgery after surgery. I can't tell you how many hours I sat in the emergency room, how many hours I sat inside the waiting room at the hospital. And all of a sudden, she adopted a couple of children. And she changed her focus from looking for everything that was bad and in pouring into something that was good. And she hasn't hardly had a surgery or a physical problem since that day. When you look for what is right, when you look for what is good, when you look for the things that are there that are good, Jesus said, hey, if you're going to love, I want you to cover them in silence. And I want you to look for the good in the situation. In our marriages, in our families, in our homes, in our church, if we would cover them with silence and we would believe in what's the best in them and that we're going to see it again instead of constantly pointing out everything that was wrong. The next word is hope. That if you're going to love, there's got to be hope in that love. There's got to be hope for a better future. There's got to be hope for more. There's got to be hope for where we are, that we're going to go to a better place. There's got to be a hope inside of us that says that we're not just satisfied with where we're at, but true love has hope that says I'm going beyond where I am to something else, that there is a constant expectation that it might be in a place right now. I love the word journey. Everybody, we're on a journey. Do you know what they're really saying to us when they tell us we're on a journey? We're really a wreck. We are a wreck, but we've got hope that we're going somewhere else. We're on a journey. What do you say? I'm saying we're a wreck. And right now we need some hope to believe that we're going somewhere else. If you're going to have true love, if you're going to have the love that God is talking about here in 1 Corinthians 13, there has to be hope in that love. That when you look at that situation, you don't look at everything that is wrong, but there is something inside that you can find a hope to say, devil, it's not always going to be this way. I'm loving this situation. And there is something in love that is, you've got to understand that he talks about love and then he talks about gifts. There is something powerful that is stimulated. There's something powerful that is created by love. There's something that is activated in our lives by love. And so he's dealing with them about, you've got to love, you've got to get a hold of this, you've got to make sure that this is inside of you, because hope will cover in silence. Love will cover in silence. Love will believe what is good. Love will hope in what, where it might not be, but it's going somewhere else. And then it says hope will endure. Hope will endure. That means love says there isn't anything that you can do that can cause me to release you and let you go. So many times in the day we live in now, it doesn't take much and we're done, we're done, we're done, we're done. We'll cut them off, we'll never have anything to do. I'm not talking about just opening yourself up for abuse, but I'm talking about you've got to make up your mind that whatever it takes, this marriage is going to work. Whatever it takes, this relationship with my children is going to work. Whatever it takes, this relationship with my Jesus is going to work. That I'm going to make this happen. Why? Because God said that if you're going to love, it's not just going to be free. It's not just going to be whatever you want to do. It's going to be somebody saying, I'll cover you. I'll protect you. I'll watch over you. I'll believe in the best. I'll hope for the best. And I will go through whatever it takes. I'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death because I believe that there's something that's going to happen on the other side. I want peace in my life, then you've got to have love in your life. There's something about love, something about mercy, something about allowing people and releasing people in your life. When was the last time you released people in your life? When was the last time you forgave them? When was the last time you let it go? When was the last time you want peace in your life? You've got to find true love in your life. And true love is not an emotion that you feel with somebody on the job. It's not an emotion that you feel, I met this one, and I remember when me and my wife were in love. I heard Brother Hugh said it best. You didn't fall out of love. You fell out of forgiveness, because love is principles by which you live by. And God said true love is covering in silence, looking for the best, hoping for your future, and enduring to the end. And if somebody walked into this church and they found that, don't you think this would be a place they'd want to stay? Lord Jesus, I ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that you would speak to us today, oh God. Lord, that there are people in this room that are hungry for peace and joy and love in their lives. Lord, as we work through this study, oh God, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would speak to our minds, oh God, that you would stir it up inside of us, Lord Jesus, that there would be something inside, that we could live with your joy, that we could live with your peace, that we could live with your love, that it would be a part of our lives every single day. Lord, that you would help us, oh God. In your name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.